Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. It's time now for our Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. And we welcome in Fox 8's very own John Telitz. JT, as always, a pleasure to have you on, my friend. How are you today?
Doing great and really looking forward to see what the Browns can do on building on what they had on Sunday. So it's going to be very curious to see what goes on with those the Steelers coming into town on Thursday night.
Yeah, well, let's start right there. For the first time in, well, I guess just over a month, we're talking about a Browns victory. And you mentioned to me earlier this week that you really liked the way Kareem Hunt played on Sunday. You mentioned that he was your MVP in that game. Why is that?
Well, first of all, if you saw him from the first play that he was on the field, he was the lead blocker for Nick Chubb. Nick got, I think, 23, 24 yards on that play. And that showed you the ferocity by which Kareem Hunt plays the game of football. He went out there and attacked his man as a lead blocker. And you saw that kind of zest and just incredible amount of passion that Kareem Hunt uses on the football field, which he did at Willoughby South and at Toledo and with the Kansas City Chiefs, and it just translated to him feeling really comfortable out there, him playing his tail off. He's so versatile as a player, a receiver, a blocker, a running back in space, a running back in the middle of piles, and he's so tough to bring down. Between him and Nick Chubb, I just thought it was really impressive. In fact, a couple of things just to take note of. When he was the lead blocker for Nick Chubb, Nick ran for like a buck 16, something like that. They got 87 yards when Kareem Hunt was blocking for Nick Chubb. And I think this Bull, and Freddie said as much, that they're two of the most unselfish football players. If you were to have just reversed the roles and gave 20 carries to Nick Chubb, and had 20 carries to Kareem Hunt, rather, and have Nick Chubb catch seven balls out of the backfield and run four or five times the way Kareem did, he would have approached how he played the game exactly the same manner that Kareem Hunt did. They are exceptionally team-oriented individuals who just want to win, who are the type of guys that you have to build your football team around, and it was just so much fun to watch Kareem Hunt out there enjoying himself almost a full year, like 350 days since he last stepped on a field. And it was so impressive. I remember in the locker room afterwards, I asked him, "You looked very comfortable out there, but it's been almost a year. Were you?" And he said, "You know, I'm a football player. This is what I do. I feel so natural out on the field with the pads on, the helmet on, and going out and doing whatever the quarterback says that we're doing on that particular play." And I was really impressed. He was the MVP as far as I was concerned because he boosted the team. And, you know, we can get into the schemes and things of that nature too if you want, Bull. He just made Freddie and the offensive guys, gave them so many more options by being out there either with Chubb, which I believe there were like 43% of their snaps they were on the field together, whether he was in the slot or split out wide or whatever, but they're on the field on the same play. And 43 other snaps, and there's just the possibilities are endless, Bull. And so I have to give the Browns credit because I've been hard on them. You've been hard, you know, people in Northeast Ohio have been hard on them for the last 20 years because they just haven't seemed to have gotten it right. And when they got a guy with this kind of talent, and if they were to waste his ability, it would be criminal. And they certainly did nothing close to wasting his talent. They utilized what his strengths were, and it's going to be interesting to see how they can evolve with this relationship between Nick and Kareem as the season goes on.
Well, hopefully they can use that to fix some of the issues in the red zone. They had to settle for three on a number of different occasions on Sunday. What do you make of these red zone issues?
Well, I think they got too pretty on a few plays with this pitching the ball back. I mean, you need 2 yards a yard. You've got Nick Chubb, or if you bring someone else in, run them in the eye, just give the ball and go forward. Now, the offensive line got pushed back. The Bills are very stout in that regard. the Browns' offensive line, when they're blocking in space and more of a zone blocking type of a situation, they do a nice job. But if it's that mano-a-mano, when you take away the two top linemen in Betonio and J.C. Treader, you know, there's some problems at times. So I think there was obviously one situation where Freddie just had to have gotten his stubbornness out of his brain and said, I'm going to take the points here, take the 3 points. Because, God forbid, you know, you come to the end of the game and you haven't taken those points, and then Buffalo makes that field goal, and then you go to overtime and you lose the game at OT. You sit back and you go, there was some situation earlier in the game where it was the most sensical thing to do to take the points, and they didn't. So, yeah, I wasn't too happy about, you know, trying to get cute down there in the red zone. And, you know, so be smarter in how you approach these types of things in the future. If the points are there and it's fourth down, it's not a test of your manhood, Freddie Kitchens. It's the test of your, you know, the what you've got between your ears and realizing that 3 points are very valuable in a game where one team scored 19 and the other one scored 16. 3 points are pretty doggone valuable.
Yeah, they certainly are. And, well, I feel like we could spend an entire segment on Baker Mayfield. It seems like it's something different every week. Now, he certainly performed better the last couple weeks. It took some more shots downfield. That scene opened things up at least a little bit. Your thoughts not only on Baker Mayfield's play, but, well, also the comments that he made after the game.
Yeah, I thought he played a pretty good game. And, hey, two touchdown passes, haven't seen that in such a long time. So I got to give Baker credit. He made some real nice throws. That throw to Jarvis down to the 6 yard line in the winning drive there to get the touchdown to Hollywood Higgins. I thought he made a nice throw that only Jarvis could get to, and Jarvis adjusted beautifully to the ball while it was in the air, and he had a phenomenal game. And so I thought Baker played well. And one of the interesting stats that kind of came out of this game, and kudos to the NFL Network for pointing it out, prior to the game, their second and third down average of yards to go was something like 8.6, Bull. And then on Sunday, it was 5.6. And so they were smarter on first down. The fact that they only made 4 penalties was a huge, huge factor in the game. Kudos to them for cleaning that up. 2 games now, 9 total penalties. And then they took care of the football and, you know, didn't have any turnovers, nor did they take any away. But I thought Baker played well. Now, what he said, I think, at the end of the game, he was kind of not upset, but just kind of puzzled that it was very loud when they were on those goal line situations, and it might have made communication a little bit more difficult. It was very loud down there. So he was saying, hey, when we have the ball, when the Browns have the ball and we're on offense, he just wanted to not be super loud so that he can communicate with his team. And then, of course, feel free to rip your vocal cords in half by screaming while the other team has the football. I get that. But I think what Baker also missed in his point was that there was a ton of Buffalo represented at that game, Bowl. I mean, I was doing some sideline pregame things for the Nexstar TV stations that were affiliated with in all the cities in the state of New York who follow the Buffalo Bills, and there's quite a few of them between Syracuse and Rochester and Buffalo and what have you. So, and I was down on the Bills sideline at that time, pregame doing some stuff with Josh and with Thad, and I was talking to a lot of the Buffalo fans, and they were coming from all over, and there was just a whole boatload of Buffalo Bills fans in that stadium. So naturally, when the Browns are in goal line situation trying to score, they're going to be screaming their brains out. And memo to Baker, guess what? Tomorrow night, you're going to have same kind of a scenario with all the Steeler fans in town.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll come back around to that matchup tomorrow night. That should be a really fun one to watch. I want to spend a second here, though, on that Browns defense. The victory over Buffalo, boy, they really put Josh Allen in some really, really tight spots. What were your takeaways from the defense on Sunday?
Well, they were asked to be stout and to get the ball back, excuse me, and of course they were asked at the end of the game to at least not allow Buffalo to get enough yardage to be able to attempt a sensible distance field goal try. And so they did their job in that regard. I thought they played a pretty good game. And now I will also say this, Josh Allen has a howitzer of an arm, but it doesn't mean that howitzer, it's not like a Scud missile is misses in the country entirely that you're shooting for, because sometimes he had guys that were open and he just didn't make, a good enough throw. And so, but he can hurt you with his running. You saw that in a couple of instances. So I thought that the defense, they've been beaten up a bit because there's been some games where they've given up big time plays and big gashes. And for the most part, Bull, you didn't see that kind of stuff from the Buffalo Bills. He did score a touchdown when the Red Sea parted and he was able to run up the middle. And that's, of course, because the Browns were in man and nobody was spying Josh Allen and he ran in. But I thought for the most part, they did a good job on an offense that certainly isn't one of the greater ones in the National Football League. But the defense is one of the better ones in the NFL, and I thought they did a pretty good job, Baker, in the offense and how they scheme things better on Sunday than they have in past games.
Again, we're being joined by Fox 8's very own John Telich on the Budweiser's From the Sidelines segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco. All right, JT, we mentioned we bring it around to tomorrow night's matchup, Browns and Steelers. It'll be pretty cold. It'll be pretty festive for this rivalry for sure. What concerns you most tomorrow night about the Steelers?
Well, first of all, the Steelers still have the culture bowl that everybody thought was not going to be there this year, and they would fall apart, and that franchise would disappear along the banks of the Three Rivers there in Pittsburgh. It's not happening, and it won't happen, because they have that culture of winning, even though there was some dysfunctionality in the past year with the antics of Antonio Brown and then Le'Veon trying to get his way out of town. And they always seem, to get the job done. And they've rallied. They're at a point now where they're playing, they're second in the division in terms of wins and losses. This is a divisional AFC North game. This is going to be just a real tough football game and cold football-like weather. But their defense is very good. And when you have guys like Watt and Dupree, Baker's got to have his alert on. His spidey sense has got to be at the greatest degree of Spideyville, if you will, because I just think these guys, they have a very good defense, and it will be very interesting to see how they react. I know Mike Tomlin said in a media news conference on Monday or Tuesday, when you regard the Browns offense now with Kareem in the mix, and with Nick Chubb being the tremendous player that he is, and then, of course, OBJ, Jarvis, it's kind of like a pick-your-poison. I even used that soundbite on the news last night. It's a pick-your-poison type of a thing, how you defense this Browns offense. And, Pittsburgh always seems to have good defenses, and this is no exception. And they did not lose any of the Steeler winning tradition DNA when they had all that shenanigans that was going along, and that's by virtue of the fact that they've been able to continue. They've been playing very well as of late, beating the Rams. They've had some nice wins this year, and they've done it by virtue in many ways, shapes, or forms. Did I say Rams? I think I meant Chargers. But first and foremost, they've got a defense that's going to give you fits, and that's what's been going on with them.
Yeah, and they've been on a roll recently as well, too. You mentioned that, they certainly have not exactly had the most favorable of scenarios, losing some very good players at skill positions over the last couple of years, and of course with Big Ben being out since week one, despite all of that, they have looked really good. So tomorrow night will certainly be challenging, and it'll be very interesting as well. Well, not only tomorrow night, my friend, but Friday night as well, as we enter the regional semifinal round of the high school football playoffs. There are some outstanding matchups on Friday night. Which ones will you have a very close eye on Friday?
Hey, first, before I go to that, let me just correct myself. They've beaten both the Rams and the Chargers. I was thinking they only beat one, but they beat both of them. And so within the span of their four-game win streak, Bull, they beat the Chargers 24-17 to begin it, And then this past Sunday, they beat the Rams 17-12, and that was a 4 o'clock game. So to the high school stuff, out your way, out in the west side, you know, you've got some teams like Avon Lake in the mix playing. Avon Lake is playing Wadsworth, and Avon will be at Byers Field in Parma to take on the Benedictine Bengals. Very interesting matchup in that regard. I think Coach Good has done a great job with the Benedictine team. He's a first-year head coach. He's a former player there for the Bengals. And so that's one of the games that I will be at personally, so I'm excited to see what happens there. And then, Bull, you've got you know, the big schools up this way, Mentor taking on McKinley, and if you're going to go similar scores or, you know, similar opponent type of a scenario, earlier in the season, Euclid went down to Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium and beat McKinley, and then, of course, Mentor just ran roughshod over Euclid about 2-3 weeks ago, beat him 45-0. So if you're looking for similar scores, Mentor looked very good last week against Cleveland Heights, and I would expect, you know, the Mentor machine to keep on rolling. And then Euclid faces St. Edward's. This is the time of the year for St. Edward's, so that will be an interesting matchup. I think that game is at Brunswick. And so, you know, going to be fun to see what happens. I would assume that you're going to have an Ed and Mentor matchup in the regional final. But, again, let's play the games and see what happens. So we've got lots of games we're covering. I think we're covering 10 for Fox 8's Friday Night Touchdown. And we're also going to give the Friday Night Touchdown Player of the Year Award, which is still being voted on online. And so that has not been finalized. But we're excited about Friday night, as I'm sure you guys are as well.
Oh, yeah. Busy as always, my friend. No question about that. And temperatures look like they might climb into the mid to high 30s for Friday night. So we could be store for a special night, right? That feels like a tropical heat wave compared to what we've experienced the last 2 days, doesn't it?
It's great. I see a little bit of that the sunshine out today. And so, hey, small victories. You enjoy them.
Yes, you got that right. You enjoy them for sure. Well, JT, we enjoy having you on the show every single week, my friend. We look forward to doing this again next Wednesday.
Sounds good, buddy. I'll talk to you then.
Thank you very much, JT. That's John Telich with Fox 8 joining us on the Budweiser's From the Sideline segment presented by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge in Barton Roads. Let's step aside and take a break. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.